chapter 2, from verse 8 to 20. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, for those that were here last Sunday, we read the same passage and we did part one of this sermon. I will summarize a bit as we go into part two. We were just coming to this critical point. Let's read God's word from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Brothers and sisters, this is God's word. I pray that you receive it as such. Let us thank God for his word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We have read your word, Lord. Now we pray and ask, please give us understanding of your word. And as we understand your word, Lord, we pray that you give us the power to do what your word tells us to do, so that we may not just be hearers only of your word, but those who do what your word tells us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, this story tells us, and this is the only story recorded in the Bible where God announced the birth of his only begotten Son on this earth, and he announced this. You know, you imagine in our families, when we get the gift of having a child born to us, the people that we think of telling the good news of, "My beloved child is born," the people that you announce and you tell people, very strange, the choice of God, that he chose the shepherds. You must imagine that God doesn't have a very good marketing strategy. Because if he could have gone to priests, he could have gone to huge gatherings, or to the palace, or to somewhere, but he went to shepherds. Let me remind you about shepherds this particular time. Those of you who read the Bible and understand the Bible, you know that at one stage in the history of the children of God, the Israelites, those who were set aside by God to live the life and show the world what it would be like to walk with God. At one stage, shepherds were great people. In fact, some of the great heroes in the Bible were shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. A number of people were shepherds. But over the years, as the Pharisees and scribes and the rabbis would write the laws and edit the laws, one law became more prominent than all other laws, the law of the Sabbath. And now that is a problem. If you are a shepherd, sheep don't cooperate. They need to eat, even on the Sabbath. So the shepherds would take their sheep and look and protect them on the Sabbath. So there was a rabbinical declaration, and the teachers of the law started, wrote off shepherds as unclean. And then over the time, shepherds just got just a bad name. If you ever had a young daughter, you would never say, "I hope she meets a good shepherd and marries a good shepherd." It would be like, "I pray that she would not end up with a shepherd." Shepherds were on the lowest rung of society. They were not regarded as great people. Now God chooses to go to them to announce and say, for you, the lowest in society, you, the outcasts in society, for you who are regarded as insignificant people in society, a savior has been born. For you. So that everyone else will say, if the Savior is born for them, then I'm in. I am in. You know, and I did say last week, I gave an illustration, and I say, if somebody from here goes out to the people that are outside there, that often hang out there, some of them are already high. Doesn't matter, it's in the morning. Some of them are confused, you know, but some of them are looking after their families. They're just thinking about life, and life has dealt them in a way that has upset them. If I go out there and I say, you know, the Lord is good, this is what the Lord has said, they will say, of course, Pastor. For you, the Lord will say that. But if one of them came in here from out there and said to us, you won't believe what God said. God is great. We will all be like, yay, amazing. God is amazing. Because when you start giving this loving message to the person on the margins, those on the inside will say, I'm automatically in. But if you give the message to those who are in the inside in the temple, those who are not allowed in the temple may imagine that it's not for them. So God goes to the margins and says, for all people, great news is born. And I just want to highlight that the shepherds were in the dark. So God still found them. And if in your life you are going through moments of darkness and you are in the dark somewhere, God finds you there and brings good news to you. God comes to you and says, for you, the Savior is born. These shepherds were living out in filthy fields. Maybe in your life you are in a filthy place. God still comes to you, finds you there. Maybe you are too embarrassed about your own life even, because society has judged you and you've judged yourself and you've taken it upon yourself that you are not worthy. God still finds you there and says, for you a Savior is born. And that is the great news. And then they went and they saw it was exactly as they had been told. And because they had seen this baby, they were overjoyed, told everybody, came back into the same circumstances that they were in a few hours ago. But this time, they are filled with joy, they are at peace, because they know we might be here in the fields, filthy fields, where no good Jew, no Pharisee, no priest would come and see us here, but God is here with us. We might be here in the dark, but God is here with us, because this is our God. So anyway, this is last week's thing that I was reflecting on. And this week we are just looking at this Savior. We are looking at the proclamation that the angels brought. Yes, God finds you where you are, but we are looking at the message, the word that God gives us. The angel says, the first thing that the angel says is, don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. We could spend the day there. Even when you reflect on how things have gone this year, when you reflect on your health, your situation, when you reflect on a whole lot of things that you say, yes, it's all good for you to say, God will find me in my dark place. God will find me even if I'm in a filthy place. But you know what? I'm afraid. I might lose my child. I might lose my life. I might lose my job. I am losing my resources. I don't know if I'll make ends meet next year. The angels come with this message. Shepherds, you are worried that there are wild animals that may come and kill your sheep here. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Great news. I bring you the gospel. And it is the gospel that we are looking at today. And the gospel is this. The Savior is born. And this is what you'll see. You'll see a baby. The Savior is born, comes to you as a baby. First, then he says, this Savior is the Christ and the Lord. The Savior, the Christ, and the Lord. All those three are not names. They are titles. His name is Jesus. So Joseph was told in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph was told, when the child is born, you should name him Jesus, because he will save his people from sin. Jesus means God saves, the Lord saves. But here the angels come to announce good news for you, is that there is for you a Savior, for you a Messiah, for you the Lord. These three things, brothers and sisters, as we go through our lives, you know, when I say, God, what we needed for Christmas, we'll start with the first title that he is given, the Savior. You have a Savior. The problem is that so many people are walking through this life not knowing that they need a Savior. So many people are walking and going through life believing and imagining that they will fix their situations. And they are disappointed day in, day out. They get so many disappointments in life, and then they try this and then they try another thing. But the Lord tells us, you need not lean on your own understanding anymore. The Savior is born. Now, the Savior is a redeemer. The one who redeems us. The one who delivers us from danger and destruction. There is so much danger and destruction that surrounds you. In fact, Jesus later on says, you know what? I came so that you may have life. But I know that your life is threatened because there is a thief who comes to steal from you, to destroy you, and to kill you. There is a thief for life is full of danger and destruction. You need a deliverer from the danger and destruction. And many of us will say, you know what, as long as I got my money, you know, I talk to a lot of young people. I'm not talking about what you tell me about, you know what, as long as I get money, yes, get your money. But if it was money that you needed in life, God would have sent an economist to you. He sent a savior. Because what you need, you have seen in this life, there are people with money, so much money, they have no idea what to do with it. They destroy their own lives. You need a savior to save you from danger, because there is sin in the world. And the sin does these three things. It pollutes you. It pollutes your environment. It pollutes our lives. And it has got power that grips you. You try to let it go, but it won't go. And eventually there is a penalty for sin. And you need a savior to save you from the pollution of sin. There are people that sit down and you are planning your life, and you are planning your child's life, and you are planning your marriage, and you are so excited. And I love marrying people. When I see them and they come and they are in love and they say, you know, we want to get married. And you say to them, we want to sit down with you, Pastor Lydia, and I will sit down with you to do premarital counseling. They look at each other. Here we go again. We've got to do this simply because, you know, of course, these are the people that have to marry us. We have to go through this. We don't need it. We are in love. And I can see it in their eyes. But sin pollutes you so much. In fact, it pollutes you. You do not realize your own wounds in your life, your own pain in your life. And you think that with this person who does not even realize their own wounds and their own pain in their life, you think that in our life, we're going to have this great life, no problem at all. After a few months, the person comes back and says, did I make a mistake? Okay, a few years. Some of them don't have the courage to come back and say that. But you can see with the way they go through life. And you know, we begin to hate one another. We begin to despise one another. We begin to look at each other. And you know what? The greatest sin that we carry, many of us, and I can hazard a guess and say, even in this gathering today, I'm not condemning you, but many of us are carrying the sin of unforgiveness. Because it pollutes you. Society says to you, it's okay for you because this person has treated you badly. What, they took your property, they took your farm, they took your things from you, they damaged your life. They cause damage to your marriage. You can't forgive them. And Jesus says, you do not forgive, the Father will not forgive you as well. Because when you are saying you don't forgive a person, you are saying you are your own savior. You are your own person. You are in charge. And you got no confidence in God to handle your situation. You need a savior. And shepherds, good news, they condemn you in Bethlehem. If you go there now, they will look at you and they will smell you from a distance. They write you off. But I bring you good news. Go and look for this baby When you've seen this baby, you've found your Savior. Do you see what the shepherds do? Once they see the baby, they go to people that despise them and they start saying, you won't believe what the angels told us about this child. I don't care how you look at me, but you know, I've met my Savior. It's in this baby. Some are polluted by sin. You've got this inferiority complex about yourself. Go around looking down on yourself. You need a Savior. When the Savior comes and changes the way you look at yourself, the way you look at life, you will go and proclaim the Savior is Jesus. You need a Savior. And the good news is the Savior is born for you. He will rescue you from ruin. There is danger. And the danger comes sometimes you don't even notice it. And sin becomes so powerful. You know, so powerful, you try to change, you try to make sure that I will not be like that. Sometimes you wake up today and you say, you know what? I'm going to be different. 2026, I'll make resolutions to be different. You need a Savior. You, my friend, cannot change yourself. You can go to classes, you can meet with great people that will influence you. Who you need, his name is Jesus. He is the one that will save you and make sure that your life going forward is going to be different. He does that. He's got power over sin. The Savior is born for you because we need a Savior. You need a Savior. You cannot be a Christian who does not believe that you don't need. If you believe you don't need a Savior, then you can't be a Christian. A Christian believes, on my own I can't do this. I need somebody to save me. And don't be afraid. Somebody has provided already. His name is Jesus. All you need is to come to him. He is Savior. He is also the Christ or the Messiah. That simply means he's the anointed one. The anointed one. The chosen one. He is the one that God had all along set aside and anointed and gives this supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the child that you will carry will be the Son of the Most High God. He is the anointed one. He is the anointed one. Even back in the story of creation, when they did wrong, when they committed sin, Adam and Eve, when God comes to pass judgment, he says to the snake, there will be hatred between you and the woman. Genesis 3 verse 15, hatred between you and the woman. The woman's seed, will crush your head. He is the anointed one. And some of you will be like, yo, why did he say the woman's seed and not the man's seed? I just want to rush through this quickly for you, because I'm assuming you know. I'm just reminding you. I am reminding you that if it was the man's seed, then you would already be born with sin from the man. The woman's seed. Let me just a bit of science things that they teach, and I won't spend too much time on this because I'm only a Bible person, not a scientist. You know, every woman is born with the ova, the eggs, in them already. Just like you're born with your eyes, with your hands, with your, you know, you're born with. So the woman's egg is already part of God's creation, God's making of the person. So when God says the woman's seed, that which I have already made myself. On the man's side, the seed of the man, however, you reach puberty, then you start manufacturing in your own system, the man's seed. And they tell us, from God, original God's plan, design, from the beginning, it's not dependent on Paul. It's not dependent on what this man is doing. It's dependent on what God made already. And the woman's seed with the Holy Spirit, fully human, coming from the woman's womb, fully God, born of the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and you'll be with child. And he is the one set aside. No one else has that description. No one else can fit that description, fully God and fully human. It is such a great joy for everybody. As long as you are called a human being, black, white, Indian, Chinese, regardless of what part of the world, as long as you are called a human being, he is human like you. So he knows what you experience as a human being. This Savior knows what you experience as a human being. He is the anointed one. But not only that, as he walks around, as you see him lying in the manger, you are seeing fully God and fully... Yes, Andile, you want to come with me? Okay, you stay here. I'll join you just now. So Jesus says, let the children come to me. Do not try to stop them. And sometimes I'm like, you're disturbing my sermon. But Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Let them come to me. Brothers and sisters, the joy that I get from having the anointed one who knows what I go through. I don't know what it is that you go through when you sit down with other people and you try to explain to other people. You may be related to a person. You may be sitting with a person and you try and say, you know what, this is what I'm going through. Sometimes they're not even interested. They may be even your spouse. Except for if it's me, Lydia, I'm always interested, you know. But here we have a high priest who understands what you go through. He is the one anointed for this purpose. Because not only is he fully human, he is fully divine, fully God. He sees with the eyes of God. He understands with God's understanding. Nothing is hidden from him. He understands. He combines these two natures together so that he can fully understand what it is you go through. The problem, brothers and sisters, is we are busy looking for other people to understand us and to solve our problems. A person would rather go and spend money. You know what? I better be careful how I say this, because maybe when I retire, I'll set up an office and start receiving people for counseling. A person would rather go and spend money sitting before a therapist, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's a good thing. Go there as long as you know that this is only an instrument in God's hands. The Savior, the one who solves my problem, is not my therapist, but my God. But people would rather trust everybody else. So in Isaiah, we are told, why do you spend money on that does not save you and not come to the Savior? Shepherds, he is born for you. And this will be a sign that you'll see. And this is where we understand why he is the anointed one. This is the sign you will see. You go into Bethlehem and you find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, that's no sign. It's really like saying, you go into Bethlehem and you find a baby in diapers. Because all the babies during that time when they were born, the tradition was that the mother and the grandmothers and the others would wrap this baby straight to protect the limbs of the baby in swaddling cloths. These strips of linen, they would wrap the baby. So you find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. That's no sign. The sign comes here, lying in a manger. Every mother would wrap their baby in swaddling cloths. But no mother would take their baby and put their baby in a feeding trough for the animals. But this one, born for you to be your savior, you will find this baby in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. The shepherds will be like, oh, that's what we do with our little newborn lambs. Because the shepherds in ancient Israel, they would, when a lamb is born, they would wrap for warmth, for keeping the lamb clean, for just for the protection of the lamb. They would wrap the little newborn lamb in swaddling cloths and put the lamb in a manger. And if they were about 5 miles from Jerusalem and they wanted this lamb to be a lamb that would be used in a year's time for sacrifice, they would leave this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths like this and tell a priest, I've got lambs here that I'm preparing for sacrifice for next year. The priest comes to inspect the lamb to see that it has no blemish and say, yes, it is suitable for the sacrifice, to be sacrificed in a year's time. Now, the shepherds, in their head, what mother does this? Takes the baby and puts them as if the baby was a lamb. And Luke tells us, they went and they found it. It's exactly as they were told. The lamb, I've already told you, the lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Shepherds, go and find him. He is already wrapped up. He was born to die for your sin, to die for our sins. He was born to die, to save us from the penalty of sin, so that I don't have to pay the penalty. He pays the penalty of sin. Brothers and sisters, you need a savior. He has been provided. But hey, there's a third thing, and this is what you need to go off thinking about. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. Is he the Lord in your life? Is he the master in your life? Is he the one who tells you how to live your life? Is he the one who tells you what to do, where to go, how to relate to people? Or is your culture the Lord? You know, a lot of people pretend that they don't need a savior because they've got influencers that they follow. They just go on social media and they follow great influencers. And as long as I am doing what that influencer tells me to do, my life is great, I am fine. And they become miserable all their lives. Is Jesus your Lord? Is he your Lord? Brothers and sisters, the good thing is we don't have elections this year, we don't have elections next year, but we will have elections some year, where they will come to us and they will say to us, as if they care and they know me. Paul, vote for me, you know, because I care about you. I'm going to do great things for you. I am going to do 1, 2, 3, whatever problem you have, my office will be right there in the constituency. You can reach me. And we kill for those people. And we go crazy for those people. As soon as they're elected, they call for a meeting. They arrive 3 hours later because I'm the boss. I'm the chef. But we have a Lord who says, when you go wrong, I will die for you. When things go wrong for you, when your enemies come towards you, no weapon formed against you will prosper, because I'll come to protect you. And he does come to protect you. But we choose other lords. Is Jesus your savior? Is he your Lord? Or you are your own Lord, you are your own savior? So the angels are told, glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth, peace. So often we stop there. But no, the right translation says, peace to those who receive the favor of God. And this is just simple. For you to receive the favor of God, take Jesus into your heart. Take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And when you've done that, he says to you, when you come to me, I will never turn away anyone. Anyone who comes to me, I will receive. When you come to Jesus, Jesus says, all your burdens, cast them on him, because he cares for you. Brothers and sisters, 2025, we had challenges, we had joys, but good news is we've got a Savior. And the Savior says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.